Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the December 23rd broadcast of Italian Tomatoes. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Italian Tomatoes. I'm your host, Bob Fiore, and it is Friday, December 23rd, and we're going to do our annual Christmas show. The chat is open if you wish to participate in the chat, and to call into the show, the number is 646-478-0004. That's 646-478-0004. We're at the cusp of the holiday weekend. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and Sunday, of course, is Christmas Day. So I imagine that everybody is wrapping up their last-minute holiday preparations. We're going to do a kind of a review of the events of the week tonight, plus some meditations on the Christmas holiday. As far as news of the week, the Electoral College made it final. Donald Trump has been elected President of the United States after all of the drama of the recount and then the attempt to pressure the Electoral College to vote in a way other than what their states voted for. It all came to nothing, as expected, and Donald Trump is formally the President-elect, having had his election ratified and formalized by the Electoral College. And, of course, there is a great deal of weeping and gnashing of teeth in the political circles. If you're on the leftist side of the aisle, and, of course, no one is whining louder than the defeated Hillary campaign. So I thought, in honor of their emotional outbursts, I would play this.
White third died 50 points ahead.
The Russians, Putin, Russia.
White third died 50 points.
Russian government.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead?
Russian Putin, the Russian Russia, the Kremlin, the Russian Putin, Russia.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead?
The Russian Putin, Russia. Russia.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead?
The Kremlin, Putin, and the Russian government.
Why aren't I 50 points ahead?
That about sums it up, I think. I mean, it's been such a spectacle listening to what has been coming from Democrats, in particular the Hillary supporters. They keep spinning the roulette wheel of excuses, and sometimes it's rigging and the recount controversy, or it's Russia, or it's Comey, or it's WikiLeaks, or it's, you know, whatever. And all of these emotional outbursts ignore the overriding determinant of the outcome of the 2016 election. First, and I think most important, is Trump worked his ass off in this election. He forged a ground roots campaign. He campaigned ceaselessly. He had a murderous schedule. I don't know, even with all of his wealth and the advantages that he had, the pace was absolutely grueling, and he seemed to thrive on it. Secondly, Trump had a collection of messages with an overriding theme. The middle class has been screwed over the past 8 years by the policy direction that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton put into motion when they took over the government back in 2009. Of course, Obama, being president, had comprehensive power to set an agenda, and Hillary Clinton, her tenure as Secretary of State was so disastrous and it made so many mistakes, and we are living with these mistakes in the terrible international crises that we see today, the carnage in Syria, the migrant and refugee crises. And all of that was not lost on the voters. Hillary Clinton was the first candidate in history to be under serious FBI investigation, and indeed, when Comey sort of absolved her from criminal prosecution, it was just a few weeks before the Democratic convention, and then we had the spectacle of Hillary's emails surfacing on the porn machine of Wiener, and it revived the issue all over again, as her trustworthiness issue. Hillary had no message except a sense of entitlement, that message that she's a woman and it was her turn. And she also ran a very low-energy campaign and a very low-enthusiasm campaign. She tried to manufacture support by spending money, and there is no substitute for – money is no substitute for passion in political campaigns, and there was no passion behind Hillary. She had alienated the Bernie Sanders voters by her shameless efforts to rig the convention, and that followed her. Plus, her whole tenure as Secretary of State was characterized by mistakes, and then, of course, there was the whole issue of the Clinton Foundation and the potential for corruption therein. So it all came to naught. I mean, after she lost on Election Day, there was this great effort to try to rerun the election through various stratagems. They all failed. It's over. And now, for better or worse, Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States. And, of course, as we go into our Christmas celebrations and have our family gatherings, no doubt there will be a discussion among at these gatherings of all the controversies that the political season engendered, and I thought it would be a good idea, this being a Christmas show, to kind of have a reminder of the tendency of long-buried family disputes to arise around the holidays. And one of my favorite illustrations of this, although it's not strictly a Christmas clip, is the very funny clip out of from a very funny clip out of the Frasier show, where Lilith, his ex-wife, is visiting, and they arrange a get-together, and all of the tensions in the families that have been buried come bubbling to the surface. So we'll play this.
Well, Lilith, what brings you to Seattle, the constant rain?
I'm here for a convention, and I happen to hear your voice on the radio. I kept hoping you'd introduce Pearl Jam's latest hit, but much to my chagrin, you were doling out worthless little advice pellets from your psychiatric Pez dispenser.
Well, I guess you'll be rushing off to your little convention now, and I suppose we'll just have to catch up on your next trip.
Actually, I'm not doing anything for dinner tonight.
Really? Well, then you'll want to keep your dial tuned to 780 for Gil Chesterton's Restaurant Beat.
Why don't you ask her to dinner, Dr. Crane?
What a wonderful idea. And let me tell you why, Seattle. You see, even though our marriage was unsuccessful, Lilith and I are quite capable of conducting ourselves as adults and even enjoying spending some time together from time to time. So, Lilith, 7 at my place?
Sounds great.
In my day when two people broke up, you were mad, you were angry, you hated each other. Whatever happened to the sanctity of divorce?
Dad, you never liked Lilith.
She's weird.
Not weird.
Oh, she's weird.
Well, maybe she's a little strange.
No, Maris is a little strange. Lilith is weird.
Keep this, Dad. I had no idea you preferred my wife to Frasier's.
Oh, my head.
Can I get you an aspirin, Dad?
Oh, no. I'm afraid those are useless. This is one of me psychic headaches. Some kind of negative force out there. I only get these when there's a clawing at the cosmic continuum.
Perhaps if someone rubbed your temples.
I'm sure she wants privacy while she contacts the mothership. Frasier, I must tell you. I'm here for support, but I will not speak to Lilith. Oh, Miles, this ongoing feud between you and Lilith is ridiculous. Let it go. It was years ago.
I can't even remember what the fight was about in the first place.
Well, let me refresh you. At our wedding, while Maris was reciting her vows, which she wrote herself, vows of love from the heart, I distinctly heard snickering. I glanced behind me, and there was Lilith, her fingers pressed hard against her lips, her body shaking like a paint mixer. Why, now there she is. Oh, my God. Now, listen, it's just one evening out of your life. Will you at least try to be civil? All right. But I refuse to be warm. Hello, Lilith.
Frasier.
Please come in. Here, let me take these things for you. Here we are. Oh, look who's here.
Hello, Martin. Hello, Niles.
Hello. She's visiting her sister in Chicago.
Oh. I thought perhaps she was sailing up the transplendent river of your love. Frasier, I like what you've done with your apartment.
Thank you.
You have some beautiful things.
The settlement is final, Lily.
Go away.
Listen to you and not to me.
By the tone of my voice, he senses I mean business.
Oh, I see. You're saying your voice is more commanding than mine is?
Hell, I took a half a step before I realized she was talking to the dog.
Well, that about sums up the emergence of family dynamics and all of those long-buried conflicts and resentments. And, of course, the holidays is a prime season for all of that to occur. So if you are going through that, you have my sympathy, and I hope you get through it with a minimum of aggravation, because this is the time of year when these get-togethers occur that there's quite a bit of tension in the air. And as far as politics is concerned, there is no doubt that the passions released by the endless campaign of 2016 are going to, you know, leave traces that will be around for some time to come. Now, in addition to the family dynamic, Christmas also brings out an extra dose of workplace stress. In many companies, it is the end of the year is budget time, and unfortunately, it is also the time of year in which reorganizations are very common. And, of course, reorganizations frequently bring redundancies and layoffs. And even if your company isn't going through anything of that nature, Christmas is always stressful because people are trying to get – they're all overworked. They're trying to get their jobs done, as much done before they go on vacation as possible. And frequently you are covering for other people who are on vacation, and as – a single employee during my prime working years. My God, I spent so much time covering for people on vacations. The although there is definitely some sense of renewed energy in the air now that the election is over, the overriding reality is that the economy is not a very friendly place to be earning a living these days. The jobs that disappeared during the Great Recession have been replaced with other types of jobs that pay less, that are often part-time as opposed to full-time, that may have no benefits, and often with a diminished regard and consideration for employees' rights and welfare. The distressing tendency of all the restructuring that occurred during the past 8 years is that companies have fired a lot of senior employees who have had to scramble to find new jobs in an economy where rampant age discrimination reigns. So the new economy is very hard on people. It's hard on people both starting out. Anybody who has a millennial trying to get started in the job market knows how hard it is for the young people to land that first job, a job that has career prospects. And of course, it is also very hard on people who are displaced by the endless restructuring that occurs in corporate America, who are displaced towards the end of their working careers. So, again, I mean, it's not a very friendly place to be trying to function in this in today's economy. And there was a kind of humorous clip on Saturday Night Live that I'm going to play that it satirizes what would happen if you bring high pressure production techniques to the Elves workshop, and they had Alec Baldwin reprise his role in Glengarry Glen Ross, which is that famous movie which shows the sales pressure of life in a boiler room. So we'll play that.
Meeting about?
I don't know. It better be about our tools. My hammer is falling apart in my hands.
Well, can't build with tools like this.
I'll never be done with my toys by Christmas.
Everyone settle down. This is Winter's Breath. He's an elf from the home office.
Can I have your attention for a moment? Because you're talking about what? You're talking about the hammer? Bitching about the quality of your wood, some pixie you're trying to screw. Let's talk about something important. Put that cocoa down.
What?
Cocoa is for cobblers only. You think I'm screwing around? I am not screwing around. I am here from Kris Kringle. I'm here from the North Pole, and I am on a mission of mercy. Your name is Honeydew?
Yeah.
And you call yourself an elf, you son of a bitch?
This.
You certainly don't, pal, because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got 1 week to regain your jobs, starting with tonight's build. Oh, have I got your attention now? Good. Because we're adding a little something to this month's toy contest. As you know, first prize is a shiny new toboggan. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a box of candy canes. Third prize is you're fired. Everybody get the picture? You're laughing now? Huh? You got tools. Santa paid good money for those tools. You can't build with the tools you have. You can't build garbage. You are garbage. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
Hey, our tools are weak.
Your tools are weak? The effing tools are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business for 615 years.
Hey, what's your name?
Screw you. That's my name. And you want to know why, mister? Because you rode a hedgehog to work, and I got here on a talking moose. That's my name. Remember, boys and girls, always, A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be always be cobbling, always be cobbling.
Well, that pretty much sums up life in a lot of the economy these days. I mean, people who have been displaced by jobs have landed in other jobs where there is a lot of pressure to produce, a lot of downward pressure on compensation, and not very much regard for the employee's dignity as people. It's produce, 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 but short on dignity, and that is a shame. The paradox that we've got is that the Obama era, you know, paid so much attention to the concept of hope and change, but we live in an increasingly crude and nasty economic system as the productive energies of the people have been strangled in red tape and their spirit has been crushed by the cult of cheap and replaceable labor. So that is something that we hope that a change of direction will occur in the economy. And I'm hoping that we will move away from the statist paradigm that has been so rampant under Obama, and maybe have an environment that is more friendly towards the liberation of the productive energies that we all have, if we're managed and treated properly like human beings. And I guess with that, I'm going to close with the general observation on Christmas. It provides the occasion to think about what really matters and to draw inspiration on how to live in the face of all of the world's problems. So this is one of my favorite movie clips from regarding Christmas. It's the close of the Bishop's Wife movie, a very classic movie. I guess it's about 60 years old now, maybe 70 years old. Wow. Anyway, so here is David Niven, the actor David Niven, giving his closing sermon in The Bishop's Wife.
That cider's going to have to wait if you're going to give your Christmas Eve sermon.
Oh, my sermon?
Yes.
But that's better still.
We Tonight I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry. A blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with birthday gifts. We haven't forgotten that night down the centuries. We celebrated with stars on Christmas trees, with the sound of bells, and with gifts. But especially with gifts. You give me a book, I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted an orange squeeze. And Uncle Henry could do with a new pipe. We forget nobody, adult or child. All the stockings are filled. All that is, except one. And we have even forgotten to hang it up. A stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating. Don't let us ever forget that. Let us ask ourselves what he would wish for most. And then let each put in his share. Loving kindness, warm hearts, and the stretched out hand of tolerance. All the shining gifts that make peace on earth.
Well, this is going to conclude my Christmas podcast. I want to wish all of my listeners a blessed, happy, and merry Christmas. If you are traveling, be safe, be aware, and looking forward to producing more shows in the coming new year. We will have a New Year's Eve show at, I think, 10:30 Central Time on New Year's Eve, where we will explore some more, pay a little more attention to the political news of the year. So once again, have a wonderful, blessed, and happy Christmas. Travel safe, and just have a wonderful holiday. Thank you very much. Night.